nationwide. We bring you latest current issues, discussions and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Welcome to Nationwide Program on Radio Miraya with me, Gabriel Shadar, and this is our discussion time. Today, we will be talking about the government peace talks with the holdout groups that was taking place in Rome. And these peace talks were concluded yesterday with a communique that committed the parties to a cessation of hostilities or ceasefire. And with me in the studio to look into the development is Edmond Iacani, the Executive Director of the Community Empowerment for Progress Organization. Welcome, Edmond Iacani, once again on Radio Miraya Nationwide.
Thank you, Gabriel.
Yes, these talks and discussions between the government and holdout groups that include a group of Paganda Mom, which is called the SSOMA, and a group of NDM PF under Emmanuel Johannes Yora Kola Jawin, and also a group of UDRMA under David Toot, and also another SSNMC. And so these groups were meeting, and also we should not forget Thomas Cirillo, a group of Thomas Cirillo, and also Paul Malone. They are all under the organization called SSOMA, and they have been discussing with the government in Rome. First, these things were kind of being done under secrecy, and there was no much publicity about it and so forth. So what is this kind of discussions that is taking place of?
Thank you. First, this discussion that is going on in Rome is being led or is being facilitated by a Catholic community of St. Gideon, which is a part of a Roman Catholic community. They pick up the interest to make sure that they pick responsibility on South Sudan. And this is after the Vatican Pope visit that they took up that responsibility to make sure that they can bring on board the holdout groups, or what is called the non-signatories of the Revitalized Agreement. And of course, also there's a strong appeal from the government that anybody, any entity, being it regional, being it international, being it religious, that is able to take responsibility to bring them together to a dialogue with the holdout group or with the non-signatories, the Revitalized Agreement is appreciated. And that's why St. Gideon took over that. But of course, you know, this is under the mediation of a church, of a faith-based approach. So the approach is that they tend to do things that are behind the curtains, then will be communicated later to the public. So there's no presence of media, there's nothing, except the only source of information you can get is any one of the parties to the talks. One make a statement, then they can know that something is happening or something is going on. Mm-hmm. That's first the context where this process has been done. So it kicked off on the 11th, and it went through on to until yesterday. They were able to reach to something that I like to term it as an agreement. I like to term it as a declaration. Yeah. So what we have is we have something called Rome Declaration on the Peace Process in South Sudan. A Rome Declaration on Peace Process in South Sudan, it's an approach of bringing on board the holdout groups that have not signed or who are not signatories to the Revitalized Peace Agreement. Mm-hmm. So it's not an event. It's going to be a long process, like the same as the process of the Revitalized one. Mm-hmm. So what they did in Rome is they have signed something called Declaration of Principles. They have signed commitment to the culture of dialogue to continue, and they have signed a commitment to ensure that they have commitment towards the provision of the cessation of hostility agreement 2017, that they keep ceasefire. And this will commence on 15 January 2020, which is next tomorrow. So next tomorrow, we should expect any confrontation between government forces and NAS forces, government forces and Malong forces, government forces maybe with other parties that are signatories. Because some of these parties, like SPLM Real under Pagana Mum, doesn't have forces on the ground. Mm-hmm. So they commit themselves to that, but also have committed themselves to make sure that humanitarian access to communities under their control is not interfered with. So whether being delivered by national NGO, international NGO, or UN agents, that's what they commit themselves to. But also have committed themselves that there should be a continual dialogue between them. and the government as a part of the process to bring them on board to the revitalized peace agreement board. But also they have agreed that they want to see in a quickest way the community of St. Gideon should organize a dialogue between them, the government, and IGAD to bring the process of IGAD-led process and St. Gideon-led process into one boat. So they want to see that dialogue going on. So I think in terms of the outcome of this declaration, mainly I can say there's a four products that come out of the Rome discussion. One of them, the commitment to cessation of hostility with commencement on the 15th and continue political dialogue among themselves to ensure that they resolve the problem in a non-violent way and making sure that the process of St. Gideon and IGAD is being harmonized to make sure that they are working together and ensure that humanitarian access is not being interfered with. But obviously they have more information that they have discussed outside the content of this communique. For example, definition of the root causes of the problem. What's the root causes? They have defined that. But this, they can't agree under such a declaration of principle. That have to be part and parcel of an agreement that they have to discuss. The debate we have is whether, because remember the two parties in the table, you have the government and then you have the SOMA, which is South Sudan Opposition Movement Alliance, which is a breakout from SOA. So you realize that these particular groups have two distinct ends. The SOMA were asking for open renegotiation of the revitalized agreement, while the government say no more renegotiation of the revitalized peace agreement, and IGAD is also saying no more renegotiation of the revitalized peace agreement. So these are the two ends that we need to see, and of course they have discussed that, and which is not part and parcel of the declared principles of commitment for continuous dialogue and for continuous non-violent political process to find solution to the political difference between them as holdout groups and the government.
Let us have a quick look at the groups. Let me say the South Sudan Opposition Movement Alliance includes six groups, subgroups.
Exactly.
Each one of them, some of them are armed, they have arms, then, and the others are just political parties. Let us look, for example, at Wikindi Ovunu, Onuvu, and also David Tut, and Emmanuel Johans is a breakaway from Lam, and I think he broke away with some forces. And Pagan, I think, is just a political leader. He doesn't have arms on the ground. And Thomas Cyrillo, of course, has the biggest party with the forces on the ground. Paul Malong is somehow trying to assert himself that he's on the ground. He's is limited in one area or another. What kind of group is this now that has come together, and how can the government talk to such a heterogeneous or very varied group that has formed into one alliance?
Yeah, this is with due respect and honor, I'm not using them to describe, but their setup is exactly like also the setup of SOA. Is that it's combination of armed and non-armed groups coming together into one umbrella, the same way like we have SOA been set up in this setup. So that's their setup. Of course, in terms of a really military relevance and military presence that are so strong, on the top here you can look into NAS of Thomas Cyrillo, maybe you can look at Malong, and then you can look at Emmanuel Ajawin Johans, which is a breakout from Lam's group. The other two group, they define themselves like one group under David Tut. David Tut say he have an armed wing because he called himself the United Democratic Resistance Movement and Army. So he have an army. But unfortunately, the last one, or what you call Vinde, does not have. He has a completely political wing, which is like a setup. So out of them, two have no arms. That's real SPLM under Pagana Mum. And then the group of South Sudan, it's called South Sudan National Movement. Okay, coalition. It doesn't have, that's under Vinde, doesn't have an armed. But the other three, which is NAS, South Sudan United Front under Malong, and then NDM under the Emmanuel, these four have armed groups. So that's a mix. So what does that mean in terms of the content of the current revitalized agreement? It means we're going to look into revitalized agreement holistically, because you need to have a security arrangement with those who have the security wing, and you're going to have political arrangements with those who have the political wing, and even those who have the armed wing still have political arrangements. So somehow you're going to subject the responsibility sharing formulas if we were to continue this towards 22nd into that. So that's it. And then the question is, in terms of analysis, are we certain that will they join the government on 22nd February, which is just 30 days to go? To be honest with you,
yeah,
I'm not quite sure that
let
will
me
happen.
Ask another, maybe to pretend to have a very innocent question. What is the issue?
The issue is, if you look at the combination of these parties, there are concepts that they have towards what you call solution of peace in South Sudan, or peace solution in South Sudan. Mm. For instance, if you look at NAS, NAS is having the concept of lean government under federal system. That's what they are looking at, and they believe
and federalism
that.
Now.
Yeah, and federalism is, now, not yeah. tomorrow. And that idea is brought by quite a number of all these parties, even including SPLM, Real, and that. And if you look at the perspective of, we can combine, and that's why you can put NAS, you can put Emmanuel Ajawin into that particular, because they are breakout of SOA, which are much more concept of lean government, technocratic government, or presidential council, not really having sort of like a complete political setup that they are going to get for that. That's what them. And I'm quite sure some others will buy in, because already if you have Thomas Cirillo, Emmanuel Ajawin, and then you have Pagana Mum in that concept, the other two, and Malong will join that particular concept, that this is the best way to go. But if you look at the group of David Toot, and then you look at Vindi, and then you look at Malong, that is much more of institutional reforms. And you can hear from Malong perspective, you can hear from Sunday D'Emmanuel in terms of what he think the political issues are. So it's the same issues that were addressed in the River, but for them, the overall goal, the overall issue they're looking at is that they say the revitalized peace agreement failed to answer the root causes of the problem. And they have their own defined root causes that they have to go into dialogue with the government. And they have discussed this in Rome.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, of course, this is a process that you can't conclude in
which
such...
Which is not reflected here.
This communique is only a declaration.
Yeah, declaration. Yeah, but much of it remained under the drawers or in the minds of those who have been engaged in the discussion.
Exactly.
So there is much to it to be spoken about and to be revealed, probably when they resume the real talking, their discussion on the issues. Otherwise, what is at stake here for the peace agreement, or what is the window of opportunity, if I can say?
The window of opportunity is that as you are going to form a government on 22nd February, there will be no any military confrontation, because the fear was if you form a government on 22nd February, combination of the current signatories to the revitalized agreement, and you have holdout groups that are ready to launch an attack to that particular formed government, and then that makes no difference. It makes like there's no peace, like there's nothing on. But now the advantage is that the government will be formed, and these groups have committed themselves. No military confrontation. Political dialogue will continue. That is more healthy for public interest of South Sudanese wherever they are, because our citizens who are IDPs, who are refugees, are thinking about return, and they can't return while there's a gun shooting, gun bullets are going on. So that's the window of opportunity, that there will be no more bullets. But the question that you need to ask yourself is, in terms of if you want to look at extreme angle, will these groups remain as whole as they are?
Yeah, that is the
same thing also with the parties to the River Tas agreement in Juba.
Yeah.
If the government is formed on 22nd, you know, and you have this fun of our political colors becoming like chameleons, changing their colors. Today, a government is formed and somebody is discontented, he will run and join one of these groups. And these groups, when they're going to sign an agreement and one of them is discontented, we run again form another group. The question is, will these two agreements under the St. Gideon and under the EGAD, these two political processes, can they educate our politicians to change their political attitudes, to think about we must find a holistic solution, the concept of breaking away because hunger to the seat, we should stop that.
Yeah, it's good that you said that, Edmond Yakani, because the question always that comes to our mind, we who are observing and reporting on the issues in South Sudan, is what is really the problem of our politicians? Are they just spearheads of something among our communities, among our people? Are they true representatives of the sentiments of the constituencies they are saying? Or are they just manipulating their own people just to get a share in the power and a share in the natural resources? And then that brings the question of, is it the best way of doing politics? Is it the best way of really having a good future that will bring us all? Because nobody is going to take this country anywhere. We are all here. We are all going to be here, whatever,
you know,
whoever is in seat or not.
You know, Sadar, if you do a track record of our politicians, Our politicians were one day friends who eat in one plate.
Schoolmates also.
Exactly.
Classmates.
Classmates. Yeah. They read to, they have studied together, they can hear. And even some of them have gone in social services, in social engagements, all their friends. They know each other much more better than us knowing them. So the question it is, it's an ego. We are suffering from political ego from our political elites. We're not suffering from anything. We're not suffering from anything. It's just political ego among them. Everybody want to be a Beny, want to be a Korma Did, want to be a Mutula Bijong at the same time. They want to be all bosses at the same time. Mm. And that's not the way how you play politics. There will be no country that accommodate politicians of the same generation at the same time to become leaders. You can be leaders at different capacity. Yeah. So the question is, they all of them, for example, let me give I'm using an example. Everybody want to become a president. Where will that happen? Where are these? How many seats are there in the president?
You go to states, everybody wants to be
become
a governor.
Governors. You go to counties, everybody wants to become commissioners. You go to prime, everyone wants to become
so
a
there
prime.
So there is something utterly wrong with our way we look at politics and also how to balance our own egoistic aspirations, personal aspiration, and the common good that will be good for the whole country.
You know, right. One of the things that I've discovered as a problem with our political elites is they lack political party discipline. Most meaningful the year, they lack political party discipline. If you don't adhere to political party discipline, you will never hear the political party. Mm-hmm. You will keep running from one to another because you become a chameleon. The more you see the queue is long because you don't adhere to political party discipline, you run away from another one. Yeah. So today you're blue, next tomorrow you're red.
But the most tragic thing is, the dark side of the story is that they always have some people following them.
And unfortunately, what they're doing is that they use ethnicity, they use clan, they use family as a center of their political argument. They're not using political ideology. Our politicians lack political ideology. If we're willing to enter to them to a political argument, apart from ethnicity mobilization, apart from family mobilization, apart from mobilization of friends, and they look at the weaker angle. For example, today, if they want to come to my area, they want to mobilize, they look at someone who is weaker than me, and then they uplift him up that you'll be equal like Edmund, so please come and join me. And this person goes because or they want to be equal within the community where I am like me. So these particular ideologies, if our political elites never stop it, this country will never live in peace. Actually, instead of us having independence as a blessing, we'll have independence as a curse like the rest of the countries. Yeah. So why should we suffer from curse of independence or independent curse, as people used to call it? So for me, the question is, the change of political attitudes is the root cause of our current ongoing suffering. Yeah. Until the politicians change their political attitudes towards playing politics for the sake of stability and building a state, we'll never gain any benefit, because I'm worried. 22nd, we shall hear some people. You have seen defections going on now, from one color to another color, because you see the queue is long, you defected. What about if you defect in all the queues and all the queues keep you very far from nearest to the closest of the queue? What do you do? You'll form your own one, so to become independent one.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing also with this group. How will this group really hold themselves? Will it again have defectors from within? And one day, some of them sign, some of them, no, we didn't sign. So for how long shall we continue that?
Yeah. And then, of course, listeners, Radio Mira, this is me, Gabriel Shadar, with the Nationwide Program. And this is our discussion time with me in the studio is Edwin Yakani, Executive Director for Community Empowerment for Progress Organization. And we are discussing about the declaration that was issued in Rome yesterday between the government and another six opposition groups that have brought themselves into the one umbrella of South Sudan Opposition Movement Alliance, and they were meeting under the auspices or with the facilitation of Saint Egidio. Saint Egidio might be a strange name to South Sudanese, but I personally have personal experience with them. When I was in Rome sometime, I went to their place and we prayed with them together when we were still young people. Mm-hmm. We went from Sudan that time. And Saint Egidio seems to have an experience on the continent and other parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been involved in Mozambique. Mm-hmm. They had a lot of issues.
Rinamo.
And so they really helped bringing the peace process in Mozambique, and mm-hmm. I think also in Angola, mm-hmm. somewhere, even in Latin America. Mm-hmm. So this is not a body that has come out
of blue.
From the blue,
yeah, exactly.
Out of the blue.
Yeah.
But the question is, why Saint Egidio, and where are the traditional players in the politics of South Sudan, like the United States and the Troika, of course, and the Japan, China, and all that kind of things? Why Saint Egidio?
I think the St. Gideon took the opportunity from when Pope invited our leaders for retreat in Rome, in Vatican. Mm. And that retreat, there's a clear, distinct end that there are those who are adhering to the revitalized peace agreement, and there are those who does not believe on it, and they completely see it as a useless. And I think under the umbrella of the Vatican, St. Gideon, as a Catholic community movement that is specialized in mediating conflict, pick interest that I think we can pick up responsibility here to bring the holdout groups to a point of reaching consensus with those who signed agreement, so that we have holistic agreement. So that's where they're coming from. As you said, they have a very good track record in conflict mitigation, in mediation. As you said, Angola, Mozambique, the Renamo and the Frelimo, they work a lot, and they're coming from the Catholic community movement, that the Catholic community globally believe on them as a very strong Catholic community movement that specialized on mediating dispute among conflicting parties. That's where St. Gideon is coming from. But, and that's why, so if you see in the communique, they tend to have the concept of complementarity or supplementarity. They don't keep the concept of complementarity with IGAD away, and that is what they recognize, is still calling upon groups like TRECA, China and Japan to remain committed, and calling still in terms of the ceasefire that will commence from 15 January. They still want IGAD under CITISAM to monitor, because they can't establish another independent monitoring body. So this is going to be incorporated into CITISAM as a part of CITISAM. So that means CITISAM now can access NAS area, CITISAM can access those who signed this declaration areas in terms of violations, if there's an allegation of any violation of the Cedar of Silt agreement by the provision of 2017. So St. Gideon is known for that. They're very good in that. Mm-hmm. But I think also one thing that goes is that my colleagues were asking me also, like, oh, St. Gideon, but now civil society, are you not going to be there? I say, no, look here, this is a process. What you need to do is that the opportunity of advocacy is there. It's not always to be on the table. Not to say we're there. But I think St. Gideon is professional, a Catholic entity that's specialized on this. And I respect them. I have a huge respect for them. And I know they can make a difference. I know they have the tactics. They have all the methodologies to use to create consensus. And that's why they're able to reach for declaration. Otherwise, if it's IGAD, this group will start attacking IGAD, actually. Instead of focusing on dialogue with the government, they start attacking IGAD, your bias, your what, and then that could have not raised the spirit of dialogue. But also being religious with the callers, we know sometimes this great bring certain discipline in the table when you see a religious leader sitting before you, and somehow you see God close, and
there
Jesus
is another
close.
Level of appeal there.
Yeah, exactly.
Another level of conviction, of
exactly,
course.
Exactly.
No coercion, no just pure political bargaining, but another level of appeal that might work with some leaders. Now let us go to the on the ground, where some of the hotspots are there experience in the country. We had a lot of issues happening in Yei, in the greater Yei River area. We have issues somewhere in Bahr Ghazal. Mm-hmm. In the past 6 months, we had issues there. And also some parts of Unity or Upper Nile. There is simmering tension there, changing of allegiances and all that kind of things. Where does it leave everybody now who is somewhere engaged with government fighting and skirmishes in the hotter spots, especially in central Equatoria here?
I will say the next step after the signing of this declaration, and I wish that before 15th, next tomorrow, the commanders-in-chief of these groups should make clear public statement authoring their forces. We have committed ourselves to the provisional self-hostility of 2017. And from this, please move away, create a theater. That you have a theater of non-engagement. So immediately should inform their forces, their field commanders, their ground commanders. No more confrontation, no more that. And I think also at the same time, IGAD may need to pick up this and issue a statement of IGAD and task CITISAM to immediately engage in sensitization of the forces. And for me, as a civil society, from our side as a CEPO, is immediately this particular declaration, we are sending it out. Of course, I know people like in Yei River State, or people like in Wau, or people in Bahr Ghazal, already in the hotspots that I've mentioned, they might have come into details of this. And even the signatories to this party, their commanders in chief, might have already alerted their immediate structures, and the immediate structures have. The only thing we need to do is now we need to disseminate this in these hotspots, that please be aware, because I'm quite sure sympathizers are there, people are, who are there. Like yesterday, we were joking with someone. Someone was telling me, whoa, FDs are many. I say, yeah, there are some people who might have been former detainees in their hearts and minds. They don't know, they necessarily not to be in the prison, so they can join the FDs there if they didn't believe. But I think it's a question of now we need to disseminate this. And I think the responsibility to the parties now to disseminate this to their ground forces, and also AGAT to aid this by issuing a statement. And as AGAT is now engaged through the South African Deputy President on a number of the states, they should also acknowledge this and immediately entrust some on this and sit some to immediately take an action of monitoring and reporting violations of this particular declaration signed by the parties.
Of course, we don't know yet what is in the pocket of Saint Egidio, the mediator, until they meet again with the this group. And until then, then they'll look for the way forward and where they will be complementary to the work of IGAD. So let us see from your point, what do you expect to be next?
What I expect to be next is immediately I expect, at least by tomorrow, all the commanders in chief of these armed groups which signed the Declaration of Rome issue public order to their forces, recommitting to the provision of system of hostility. And I want to see immediately IGAD picking also acceptance. IGAD acknowledged this, and also I wish that other groups like TRECA should acknowledge this, and immediately CITISAM also should acknowledge this, and an action should be taken by CITISAM immediately in terms of building up system on how to monitor and verify this. And I think from our side as civil society is we need to disseminate this immediately to the rest of the masses, so that the message have to go from 15 January, there's no anybody enemy that will face each other in South Sudan by using bullets. The next is dialogue. So there's no any group say I'm armed group and I'm not part and parcel to the center of hostility in the country. So now everybody's committed to the center of hostility in the country.
Yeah. Thanks, Edmond Yakin. And now it's time to engage the listeners. It's on 09-296932. 05 on the SMS, and the lines are 09-2190-2950 and also 09-2190-2079, and those are the lines you can call for to engage with us and with me here in the studio, Gabriel Shadar and Edmond Yakanis, Executive Director for the Community Empowerment for Progress Organization, and I'll be taking your calls and also reading your SMS.
Nationwide, we bring you latest current issues, discussions, and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Hello? Hello? Hello, I've opened the line for you.
Yes, Gabriel, yes, Chada.
Yes, welcome. Agel, welcome, Agel.
Yes, it's Agel Mabok, Agel from WOW.
Welcome, Agel. Hello? We've lost Agel. You're not getting me, Agel, and maybe I'm not getting you. Sorry for the line there. Agel has been trying to call for a while, but the line dropped, and that is what happens sometime here. Hello? Hello? Yes, welcome. Who's calling and from where?
Yeah, this is Daniel Anyar from Owe.
Daniel, welcome.
Thank you. I welcome my guest in the studio, Plasma.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question and a command at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of us, the citizens, especially the youth, we are really need peace to trust.
Mm-hmm.
There's my question to the civil society representative in the studio director. Mm-hmm. It is like this. If on the 15th, there is no other gunshot in the South Sudan, while all of us are attached to the peace agreement. And we think that those people who just recently accepted to be involved in peace, they are not currently now in containment areas. How they will speed up to engage these people so that they should be contained, and then the place so that they should be in the other unified forces, so that there will be no any soldier who is left out from the training, so that all of them should be trained to be South Sudan National Army professionals.
Okay.
This is my question to my guest in the studio.
Thank you, Daniel Anyar from Will There. Is a good question about the possibility or options for cantonment of these forces. Another SMS is from Lawrence Ladu. He's saying, should we expect another extension before the 22nd of 22nd of February to make an inclusive government in the country. That is from Lawrence Ladu. Let me have another caller here. Hello. Yes, welcome.
Good evening.
Good evening. Who is calling? I'm from where?
This is Isaac Manlatian from my cinema.
Isaac, welcome.
Yeah, my first question is saying, what should be the penalties or the things that are going to be given to some of the people who are still needing now South Sudan to take us backward. If I am saying this, there are many people taking other side, fighting people in the country, which is contrary to the agreement of making contentments of unifying of the unified army.
Mm-hmm.
What should be the
warning
back to the people? And my last question is, I feel there will be a training of the unified army in the country. Should be the people whom they are going to train. These are the people who are going to be to safeguard all the president, plus the vice president, plus other person, or the where should they get some people to come and guide them? Thank you.
Okay, thanks for that. Second question seems like quite out of focus here, but Jack Scholler, you're from Quench South. Say my question: what is forwarding? What is the way forward? Bringing peace. Bring last peace in South Sudan. Let me take another caller. Hello?
Gabriel Joseph Chedar.
Yes, welcome. Who's calling and from where?
Good evening. This is teacher David Deng calling from Jebel Dinka.
Welcome, David.
I would like to recognize the president of the Idimon Jakani, executive director.
Welcome.
Yeah, of course, you know, in South Sudan here, all of us, we citizens, we know very well that we know the root cause. The root cause, actually, these people did not actually specify it. The root cause was the greedy for power. Just there was nothing else apart from this.
Mm.
So people were actually busy with the struggling. So they want also to be like buttocks. You see, they want to be equal. And there's no country where actually, anyone actually touched something about that before, where people want to be equal in whatever level they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what I want to say concerning about this is the declaration of the Rome releasing Rome and
declaration
Guido. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this declaration actually is also very important, and is also we welcome it, but what is the guarantee to show that this there is no gunshot within this period of times?
Okay.
So sometimes you know better well that these people sometimes whenever they sign the agreement, sometimes the violation is also going there. Who are the grantors for this to make sure that the gunshot is not actually
okay? We got your point there.
Well, yes, on the ground.
We got your point there, David.
The last one is the last one is that will these people met their in political interest? So, in since they have actually signed the agreement, and the declaration was also they want also to meet their interest.
Okay.
Can they meet their interest in terms of this? Yeah.
Okay, good. How does it meet their interest? Let us look at that. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, welcome. Who is calling?
Hello. This is Marco Mayuen. I'm calling from Awil.
Marco Mayuen, welcome.
Yeah, my question is on both peace agreement on the Rome and the revitalized peace agreement.
Yeah.
I'm asking, I'm highly concerned about the enforcing mechanism on the two peace agreements.
Mm.
But actually, they revitalized. That's the main thing.
Okay.
So I would really appreciate what will be the mechanism that will make this peace real for the people of South Sudan, because we are really tired of this war.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
That's my question.
Thanks, Marco Mawin from Awil there. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, welcome.
Evening.
Yes. Good evening.
You are talking to Makwai Kuding in University of Arkansas.
Makwai, welcome.
Thank you very much for the program, and I also welcome the director of SEPO.
Mm.
I would like to ask a question.
on the written agreement that has been signed.
Mm.
So we know the peace was signed between the political parties, that is the IO and the government,
mm.
plus SUA,
yeah,
and also the FD. So now there is an agreement that has been signed in Rome.
Mm.
Where will be the position of these new people who have been involved in the peace agreement? Because since we know that agreement was signed based on the division of power,
mm.
as we heard that there are five positions of vice president that will be given to
these
political parties.
Yeah.
So what will be the position of these people?
Yeah, interesting question.
Will be part of
we got that.
Vice president? Or
yeah, we got that.
There will be other positions that will be created.
Yeah, we got that. Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you there for your question. Let me see another. This is from Isaac Tang from Bunti. He said, would it be a big deal of if extension is made again for the holdouts to incorporate their demands? That is another question similar to that came before. Hello? 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 If he's not or she's not getting me, that is another from Yak Makwai from Chimele. Says, is the government and opposition group unified all their forces, or they will reserve some of their forces? I think this is quite also a broad question. And let me take the last caller online. Hello?
Yes, I'm happy to be back once again. Gabriel Joseph Shedar.
Yes, Gail, yeah.
Thank you. It's Gail Mabob. You see, Gabriel Joseph Shedar, I'm very disappointed when I look at our leaders committing themselves to bring peace to the country. And at the same time, you find other people, you see, doing what is contrary to what our leaders are doing.
Mm.
What happened yesterday evening, you might have heard, you see, a lecturer was killed by a known gunman.
Mm.
Now, my question to our guests in the studio, what is the message? Though they don't listen to radios, those who call themselves a known gunman, what is the message to them so that they give peace a chance, you see, to rebel in the Republic of South Sudan? Because everyone wants peace. Even those who call themselves a non-government also needs to, need this country to be in peace.
Okay.
This is the first question. The second question is, what will be the position of the leaders, you see, the warring parties, or the government, the other political parties, the IOs and all these? Because the issue of the number of states now, people are working seriously on the security. You see, the issues of security arrangement. But how about the issue of the number of states?
Okay.
What if people doesn't agree? What will be the future of this country?
Okay.
Will it lead to the extension, or what will happen?
Thanks, Sagil. Thanks for that.
Welcome.
Thanks, Yakani. We are left with 5 minutes. Let me read quickly some of the SMS that have come. Is Gatwiji Manuel Corion from University of Juba. He says, I'm really happy for the decision we take by the remaining SPLM-IO in Rome to be part of the revitalized. What will be the guarantee for the formation of government? Especially a repeated question. Then Mayik Atagnor from Nyamlel, thank for the topic. What is the way forward? And also Andrew from Maluth County, he says, who are in this group which met in Rome, and what would be the recommendations of CEPO? So it's just kind of the same questions repeated. So you are having the last 4 minutes to sweeply answer these questions. Yeah.
I think I will answer this question in terms of putting them all into three categories because of the time.
Yeah.
One, in terms of extension, 22nd February cannot be extended more because of the Rome process. Rome process is a complementary process for the peace process under IGAD. So that's what I'd like to ask those who ask about extension. So it's only depending on the last question about whether issue of the number of the states will be resolved, because is kicking off today and tomorrow, the government and then the other parties to the revitalized agreement negotiating the issue of the states, and wish that our recommendation here as an organization is that let them see a middle ground. If they can compromise, if whatever they can compromise with, we can go with it because we want to see peace. That's one thing. In terms of the Rome process and the revitalized peace agreement connection on access, I would like to assure citizens that we are not going to get the groups who are holed out in Rome that likely they're going to join the government on 22nd in terms of cantonment of forces unified, they are committing themselves to continue political dialogue, and they will join the peace process as they can reach an agreement between them and the government. And in this particular point, I would like to raise, some people may ask question, when we say the government, when people went to Rome, what happened? First, the agreement was signed between the government of the Republic of South Sudan and the holdout group, but it is witnessed by SPLM-IO. And SPLM-IO witnessing, and of course, so the other political parties like SOA might have also agreed that, okay, let IO witness on behalf of us as opposition. So in terms of opposition, in the current revitalized peace agreement in Juba, they witnessed the process with the presence of Henry Odwaro, deputy chair of SPLM-IO, he witnessed. And the government signed on behalf of the government is honorable advisor of the president, Benjamin Marial. So the government is a part of the Rome Declaration. They commit themselves to it. Opposition with the president of Henry Odwaro also were there with the leader of SPLM-IO witnessing the Rome Declaration. So it's something happy that we should celebrate, yeah, that at least there's a consensus in handling Rome. So that's what I like to say in terms of that. Mm. But in terms of the unified forces, I'll tell the current parties who are signed to the agreement will carry on their security arrangement, will carry on their power sharing. And these groups in Rome, when they come into the process, we shall open up that power sharing. And specifically, I would say, if we have a government established in 22nd February, then the debate will become much more better, holistic, because you have one single entity called government composed of majority to negotiate with them. But obviously, the probability of also having another power-sharing negotiation or step down from position, and it's not new in our history.
Yeah.
People have stepped down for others to come in. So those are some of the what do you call prediction or assumption that we should put ahead of us, that power-sharing is going to open up, another security arrangement is going to open up. But provide that if they're opening power sharing and security arrangement without any violence going on, we have no problem. Yeah. As long as you can get anybody on board, peace have a price. And we have to pay that price for the peace, yeah, the same price like for the war. So what we see is that there's no more violence. That's what I like to assert. So, but the concept of extension, I don't think is there. And then to argue about the question of the professor sought by unknown gunman. Unknown gunman need rule of law. Our security institutions should impose rule of law. This concept of a non-gunman sometimes have political motivations, which I don't say that I have evidence to qualify that, but we need to have rule of law prevail in the country. We need to collect these arms in the hands of the civilians, and we need to see proactive work on that. But also, the unknown gunmen should know that they can remain unknown. One day, one time, they'll be known, and they should make sure that one day they'll be held accountable as they're committing these atrocities. Somebody somewhere is documenting these incidents. They're not going free. These incidents are not going free. Some people one day, one time, will be held accountable on these incidents. But we'd like to urge those who have identified themselves as evolic movement called unknown gunmen, that they don't have a leader, they don't have a structure, let them also give peace chance. That's what like what Age was saying. That will be my position. My final comment in 1 minute time is that I would like to urge South Sudanese, we should support any process that embraces dialogue rather than violence. As long the process in Rome is embracing culture of dialogue, no confrontation, no bullet, we should support that process. We should not stand behind anybody who likes to use bullet as a way of paving his way to power. So my final statement is that, a separate recommendation is that, let's take this process positively, let's engage this process positively, and let's make peace prevail in this country. It's not a fast history for us. Other countries have undergone the same history, and today they are known. One day, one time in future, will be known as the best country. And this history will teach others to learn out of it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Edmond Yakani, Executive Director for Community Empowerment for Progress Organization. This has been a nationwide program on Radio Mirai. It's me, Gabriel Shida. Thanks for listening, and we will be having another discussion another time.
Nationwide, your daily current affairs program on Radio Mirai.